conspiracies, endless wars, hidden forbidden history, the depopulation agenda, cryptozoology, mystical visions, hidden mysteries, advanced subterranean civilizations, flying saucers, alien abductions, and secret space programs, time travel, wellness, and healthy living. Where do you go to find out about these subjects and more? To James Bartley's Cosmic Switchboard Show. That's where. James Bartley will provide cutting-edge information and will interview the top investigators and researchers in a variety of fields. Listen in every week to the Cosmic Switchboard Show, hosted by James Bartley.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you are listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. My very special guest today is Freeman Fly. Freeman has lectured extensively on the secret signs and symbolisms of Freemasonry, the ancient astronaut hypothesis, trauma-based mind control, social engineering, government conspiracy, human cloning, technologies of the future, and synchronicity. Freeman, how are you?
Fantastic.
Thank you, Freeman. Thank you for coming on. I must say at the outset that aside from having me on your show and allowing me to talk about my research, you have also brought me together with my one and only, my true love. She happened to be a subscriber to your show, and she listened to me when I was on your show as a guest, and she contacted me, and away we go. We've been together ever since, and I'd like to thank you publicly for making all that happen.
That is awesome.
It is. And there's so much to talk about, Freeman, but what are the things that are uppermost in your mind that you feel my listeners could benefit from?
Well, we are doing a 9/11 show, and I think that's a really good place to start in the ideas of symbolism and how these things come together, because this is what set me off. Not that I awoke to 9/11. I actually predicted 9/11. Using a form of science that I have developed and then vetted and proven over the last 11 years through FreemanTV.com, I'm not a radio show host. I am a scientist that is vetting his science before the public and allowing you to just rip me apart. And so far, I have not had to retract a single thing. So everyone has a 9/11 story. Do you remember what you were doing 9/11?
Yes. I remember that I had a funny feeling that morning. I was ill and out of sorts, and I decided to stay home from work. I just didn't feel well, and then I turned the telly on. Lo and behold, I see the burning towers, and then everything just unraveled from there. But I had the intuition to stay home because I didn't feel well that day.
Yeah. Well, strangest thing for me, I began talking about 9/11 in 1998. I began telling people how I had actually set up a scenario that began with the downfall of Bill Clinton and has continued to Hillary Clinton talking about Alex Jones. So what I was saying in 1998 and prior has now just completely fulfilled itself and continues to. So I feel that my 9/11 story is very important, because not to blow my own horn and say, oh my God, I predicted 9/11. I didn't know I was right. I'll admit that straight out of the top. But I was forming this vision of how our society functions within secret societies, the occult, and politics. And coupling that with, NASA and everything else that we're going to get into today. But there was this moment when Bill Clinton was brought before the public on this sexual impropriety, having an affair with his numerous secretaries, but more specifically Monica Lewinsky. They brought Bill Clinton out in front of the public at a round table and harangued him in front of the entire public. The poor man turned purple as they described him inserting a cigar into his secretary, right? This is something that never, ever would happen. This doesn't happen. He is the most powerful man in the world, and no sane Secret Service would ever allow, or any, you know, anybody in charge would ever allow our president to be diminished so much that they are speaking of these type of heinous sexual acts live on television while the president squirms in his seat. So this moment to me was like, oh my God, this is all a rig. This is a setup. And this was my awakening. I had already been through Waco. I had already been through the Clinton scandals, the cocaine, the deaths and suicides surrounding the Clintons. You know, I had already experienced all that. I had actually already been in front of riot squads battling the WTO and the IMF. But this showed me a bigger puzzle that was unfolding, and I was able to use this to predict the future. So from the moment that they took the Bill Clinton down, he was idealized as this man of the people playing his saxophone on David Letterman, trying to be a hippie, you know, being, you know, just a happy old guy. Anyway, that was his performance, his set, his stage, his role. He then, as they took him down through this extramarital affair, I said, well, then if this is destroying our concept of the man, the principle behind the president, then the next step would be to force a president into office. And I began to study Kabbalah at this time. I actually learned about Freemasonry while I was in college. Now, it turns out, as I'm studying Freemasonic symbols and logos, and well, nobody knew about the logos till I told them, but the Masonic symbols, I realized they were all recognizable to me, and I was going, why is this? And my friend who had introduced me to the esoteric and the secret societies, this genius in this class, says, well, your dad's probably a Freemason. And I'm thinking, no way. You know, I'm in college. I'm a late bloomer, too. I'm 25 years old at this time going to college. And so I don't believe it for a minute. But I go home and I find out, yes, absolutely, my dad's a Freemason. He was on Killer Submarine with Jimmy Carter. He was, he's working in Project Blue Book and building nukes when I was born. So I learned that my family was in this weird involvement. But this kind of spurred my desire to understand more about Freemasonry and the history and how it related to the histories of the world. And this brought me to Kabbalah and starting to look into the forms of magic. Well, as I started to analyze the idea of high-profile rituals, and I had seen George H.W. Bush announce the New World Order publicly in 1990, I started to think these guys are very ritualistic. And now at this time, people didn't know this kind of stuff, right? I mean, since I broke this door, since I brought out the concepts of high profile rituals, now it's like, oh my God, you got, you know, 50 websites that are dedicated solely to Illuminati symbolism. I really feel like I'm the grandfather of all of that. As far as I know, I am the one who created this concept. And certainly when I put it forward, I had never heard of anybody else doing it. So this concept of 9/11 started as just a sign that I saw. And I had projected that they would force a president into office next after they brought down Bill Clinton. And in this way, I started to apply Kabbalah and magic to the politics that I was seeing. So all of a sudden, I hear the rumblings of this man, W. Everybody's calling for W. And this was truly bizarre as well. You know, when did we call a president by a letter? Well, in Kabbalah, W is the letter of the fallen angels. It's the letter of the dark side of magic. And it was that moment that I said, oh my God, this guy is going to be forced into office, and they're going to make it obvious so that everyone else sees that he was forced into office in order to diminish the idea of elections, of our very presidential selection and how America works. So I said, then he will be the last American president. And this, of course, very much set the stage for what we now know as the birther movement. But that's later on in the story. Once they had forced, now for 3 years, since 1998, I was discussing 9/11. I was discussing the fact that they have a Homeland Security Department head, Tom Ridge, governor of Pennsylvania. He has a job as the head of Homeland Security, but there is no Homeland Security, right? Didn't exist. So they needed this, right? I knew this. I was following on C-SPAN, CNN. I was deep into all of this, tracking everything. And I knew that they needed to force this Homeland Security Department on America, so they needed a major terrorist attack. Well, I kept expecting it to happen during the Bill Clinton era, you see, because the Homeland Security bill came up every October 1st, all during the Bill Clinton era. And every time it was voted down as the most unconstitutional thing you could possibly ever have in front of you. And so I knew they needed something. And when they forced the W into office, as I had predicted, then I knew that would be the year. So I went before a whole crowd of people and I just announced loudly, there is going to be a major terrorist attack on 9/11. Don't freak out. This is for public reaction. This is just for your reaction. And in this way, I was kind of predicting Alex Jones and the Patriot movement. I was saying, don't do this. I was kind of like, this is going to create this polarity in the society if we all buy into this. And worse than that, if we buy into the fact that America or 9/11 was an inside job, then in the future, what they're going to do is take America down using the world courts, using our own research to back up their whole scenario. So on 9/11, I'm sleeping in some hippie's house. I have no television, no cable, no nothing. I know nothing. I don't know even that it is 9/11. I'm sleeping in a puddle of animals. I don't even want to count them all. Cats, dogs, birds, and an iguana. They all tend to sleep with me at this hippie's house. I don't know why. The animals really flock to me. I mean, it's a weird thing. But so I'm laying there sleeping in this puddle of animals, and there's this pounding at the door. I go to the door all bleary-eyed, and I'm looking out, and there's a line of people at my door, and they're yelling at me. They're demanding how I knew this was going to happen. Some of the stories that I heard were like my friend had a friend come into her store crying, saying, we're under attack, we're under attack. And my friend says, no, Freeman just says this stuff. She didn't know it had happened. I didn't know it had happened. These guys are all yelling at me, and I had no idea what they were talking about. It took almost a week for me to actually see the Twin Towers fall because hippies don't have televisions. But I had freaked a bunch of people out with this. Now, unfortunately, I didn't know Alex Jones. I didn't know Bill Cooper. I didn't know any of this stuff. I had found my own form of science and was following it, and I didn't know I was right. So this whole projection of this scenario, even going into saying that W would be the last American president, predicting the whole birther conspiracy. So first of all, flip every conspiracy on your head. W didn't get forced into office. He was put there and it was made obvious so that you would be mad about it, so that you would have a psychological effect. The birther issue is not true, never has been true. Obama's not from Ohio, from Hawaii. He's not from Kenya either, and we'll get into where he actually is from. And this whole scenario was set up to start to continue to dismantle the Constitution, to psychological warfare again. So, you know, who would put Orly Tates in charge of such a big problem? If you know anything about the head of the birther movement, you would know this lady can't speak at all. And she has a bad German accent. I mean, if you're going to have a front man for a scenario, you know, she was the last person you would ever choose. So now Hillary Clinton is mentioning Alex Jones, okay? Now, this gets so close to me because Alex used to get out of his chair for InfoWars Nightly, and I sat down in that same chair at the Access studio and did the Freeman perspective. And poor Alex constantly had to deal with the fact that people would say, why aren't you more like Freeman? Why aren't you calm? You know, he tells us this stuff, but he doesn't freak us out. And he really had to deal with that. I mean, we talked a lot about that. But so here is Hillary Clinton now talking about Alex Jones. And for me, this feels like the rest of my prediction is coming true in the idea that they are going to utilize the whole architects against 9/11. 9/11 was an inside job to push America into, couple this with the whole Trump Hillary fiasco of a president's election campaign. then America is drawn into the world court. All of the truth or information is utilized to bring America down, and the UN is already in place. Obama's already established the 10 regional governors of America for the UN. It's all in place, and I see it all coming to fruition. So that's my 9/11 story.
Well, it all makes sense to me, because I remember when George W. Bush popped up, the Diebold electronic voting machine scam and all that stuff, what came out later on about the neocons, a project for a new American century, it definitely had the effect of inflaming a certain element of society that was somewhat switched on, was somewhat aware of the concept of false flag terrorism. So there was definitely, from that point on, this divide that had been created at multiple different levels. So as far as a PSYOP is concerned, it's the mother of all PSYOPs of the recent past.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the truthers, the people that are awake, don't realize that they were intended. They think there is something opposed to this whole situation. I mean, if you're smart enough to create these scenarios, you obviously plan out and orchestrate each of the sides. And although I don't personally believe Alex Jones is a COINTELPRO, I don't think that he is an intentionally being fed false information and being paid to disseminate that information. This is just from my personal relationship of being at the studio at the same time and, you know, getting to know him. I personally think that this is him thinking he's doing the best thing he can for America. And I've spoken with him about it, that this was a whole plan, that you were intended and that you will be used in the end. And so this was, you know, being so contrary to everyone and then trying to throw in the fact that it's a cult. And you're talking
yes.
about symbols of fallen angels and Clefot and trees of life and Kabbalah. Then, you know, then everybody falls off the wire. But soon enough, the world caught on.
Part of the divide was the fact that for those who followed Alex Jones and the so-called Patriot Movement, if you will, they looked at it more from the usurpation of the Bill of Rights, of the Constitution, of national sovereignty being eroded, et cetera, et cetera. They didn't see so much the grand master plan behind it. They didn't see really the occultic aspect. They may be aware at some level that the so-called elite, the bloodline elite that apparently rules this world, are into these sordid rituals, sordid ceremonial, magical ceremonies, and indulge in all kinds of horrific things. But they almost see it kind of in an abstract sense. They don't realize the degree, the depth, that symbolism, that numerology, so on and so forth, factor into how they create this alternate reality that we're seeing play out in front of us.
Without a doubt. It was a revelation to me as I started to dig deeper and deeper into Freemasonry. I started to see correlations between their rituals and corporate logos. And I started to be able to decipher all the different corporate logos in a Freemasonic ritual. Now, the Freemasons that know me, and there are quite a few, they say I'm the guy who knows more about Masonry than most Masons. And this is true. I have read their books. I've studied them. I've even deciphered their secret code books. And you really got to know something to do that. And so this was my place. I just was a vessel for this information. I didn't mean to know any of it. It just, like, you know, my soul ate it up. It wanted it more and more. And as I started to look around me and see what people call Illuminati symbolism is really a misnomer, and I think that was also placed into the dialogue so that you would be led astray, because there is no technical Illuminati. It doesn't exist, right? You've got Weishaupt's Illuminati. You've got aspects of the Illuminati with skull and bones, or you know, scroll and key, or really, the group that claims to be the Illuminati is the Ordo Templi Orientis, the OTO
yes.
of Aleister Crowley. They're the ones that claim direct descendancy of Adam Weishaupt's Illuminati. Now, when people start talking about that, the Illuminati, it's throwing out this ghost, you know? There's nothing you can hunt. What I can prove to you is Freemasonic symbolism, and I can show you clearly. I've even gone to every Mason temple around the globe, really. I mean, I've been to all, you know, four continents of Mason temples, and I've documented the corporate heads of all of these corporate logos that I'm showing. So it's a confirmed science. Nothing I say you cannot resource yourself. You know, you can go find what I'm telling you. Every word, every bit. I'm not telling you I went to Mars. I'm not telling you I'm on some secret mission. I'm not telling you I'm a whistleblower. I'm a person who found a science that was inside of the political spectrum that deals with the occult, and I lay it out there for you.
Now, since 9/11, what we've also seen is a whole slew of what's been variously described as false flag attacks, of hoaxed events, scenarios where the corporate media convey this impression of mass slaughter and mass carnage, but the diligent research of certain people, Wolfgang Halbig is one who's really dissected Sandy Hook, he's satisfied, based on his expertise and his understanding, that there were no casualties, there were no children killed at 9/11, and rather at Sandy Hook. Nevertheless, the psychological trauma, the effect it has on the public, and then thereafter, the predictable bullfrog's chorus for more gun control ensues. And what we began to see is this kind of separation. There were people within the Patriot movement, so-called, that they didn't want to believe that the powers that be would hire hordes of crisis actors to pretend that they've been, you know, killed or wounded or whatever. And some of these alternative news media outlets, InfoWars being one, in many cases hewed very closely to what became the official story. They would go along with the fact that an autistic boy named Adam Lanza would drive across a state border and perpetrate all these shootings and so on and so forth. And then when the corporate media lets out that the kid was on psychotropic drugs, well, a number of other alternative news outlets would jump on that, like Natural News, for example. Oh, there's another example of selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors causing people to go crazy and shoot the place up. But what's happening is when they bite into a small part of the lie that is part of the cover story, they wind up swallowing the whole lie, so to speak. And it almost creates even more divisions within what should have been a consolidated block of people all on the same page. Then it created these different tiers and different levels of understanding and provided fertile ground for acrimony, dissension, and so on and so forth in the mix.
Yeah. It really is a replay of the 60s when everybody was unified against the Vietnam War, and then they came in and utilized good ideas for bad. And they said, well, you know, what about the black community? You guys need your thing. And what about women? Shouldn't you have rights? And, you know, what about homosexuals? Shouldn't you? Which, by the way, all of those tenets are the tenets of the Bavarian Illuminati of Adam Weishaupt. You know, go look into it. It was homosexual rights, women's rights, minority rights. That's what the Illuminati was fighting for. So if anybody wants to go research the Illuminati, you're going to find that, well, we live in the Illuminati's dream right now. But what you saw was that they used these good ideas to separate a unified idea. And everybody, suddenly I got Black Panthers, and of course they were surrounded by secret societies and boiling into all of that, and biker groups and things of this nature, which also boil into secret societies. And they separated everybody. So, yeah, in the same way, when you start getting into this, now, I consider myself like a perfect witness, you know, like something out of Stranger in Strangeland, where I have to see the evidence in order for me to state that something is occurring. So, one, you won't get the story right away from me. You never will. You know, I want to go understand it first. I want to have it figured out before I go blaring it, and, you know, everybody's trying to get number one on YouTube. And by the way, if you start broadcasting this stuff on YouTube now, you're not going to get any ads, and you might just get banned globally. It happens to me all the time, but it's turning into a big deal for a lot of other YouTubers right now. My stuff's always been banned. My article on Anna Nicole's death was put on the World Wide Web 2. Ever heard of that? Nah, it's in the URL. You can go check it out. It's crazy. I have no idea, right? So in situations like Sandy Hook, there is not a lick of evidence to say that anyone was ever killed or injured in the Sandy Hook scenario. Zero. And then you start to add in the ideas of this, you know, 90-pound, maybe 110-pound kid trying to kick down a steel-reinforced door while loaded down with all this weaponry. I think he had, an AR-15, which I've shot one of those things, man. That thing's got there's just no way. There's no way. And then you take into account that all the weirdness that went along with the Sandy Hook scenario, the fact that it was targeted as terrorist zone one in the Batman movie, right?
Yeah.
And we find out that the special effects guy who made the map, the props guy, actually was born in Sandy Hook and died mysteriously in a car accident, so we can't really find out why he put Sandy Hook on that map. And then you have the idea that the only other address for the Church of Satan is in Newtown, Connecticut, near Sandy Hook. And the fact that all of their houses seem to have been paid off on Christmas Day on a Sunday. So there's all your crisis actors with old Gene. Oh, my God, he spurred some great music videos. The guy who just happened to take all the kids into his house and have a bunch of toys about. Creepy.
Yes.
Yeah. Gene Rosen. Oh, my God. So, yes, this story and the idea of crisis actors, and that really blew up. But people are getting very reactionary, and that was my whole premise and preface to the whole 9/11 scenario is don't be reactionary. Follow the story. Understand the story, but see the bigger picture.
Yes, because it helps people to maintain their inner equilibrium, inner harmony, and not get emotionally wrought up. Like, for example, not to pick on Alex Jones, but when he was really pushing the hype about Jade Helm, saying, well, this is preparations and practice for martial law, for takeovers, et cetera, well, in actual fact, those plans have been in place for a long time. Rex 84, we think of things from the past. The contingency plans have been there for a long time, and the militarized training of the cops and the multi-jurisdictional task forces, it's already embedded in their training to do, roundups and do things like, quell food riots and whatnot. So what happened with Jade Helm was it whipped people up into a whole nother level of frenzy where overnight all kinds of Facebook groups, Jade Helm groups, and forums were started up. And it was kind of feeding into this vicious cycle of Jade Helm frenzy.
Yeah, I was born into the first point of light of the 1,000-point light system of H.W. Bush. Orlando, Florida was classified as a police state long before any other in the whole United States. And in order to honor this scenario, they blew up City Hall, which you can see on Lethal Weapon 3, and they erected a new city hall with this giant phallus, a penis, and a gushing vagina out in front. And this was the dedication to being the first point in the 1,000 Points of Light program of George H.W. Bush. In Orlando, we had cameras on our streets in, early 80s. We had secret police forces known as the Duke Boys that would come in ski masks and take people out of their homes at night. Georgia was very similar. They had the Red Dogs, and they were pretty much a police state as well. But Florida, the motto there was fly to Florida on vacation, wind up on probation, and flown back on a violation. You just can't fit it on the license plate, but that's the truth. So when I came out and everybody was screaming and crying about cameras, I was like, really? I mean, I grew up with these. I grew up with the police force and the jackbooted thugs and all of that. And so this was, 1980s to me, really, 84 was reality there in Orlando. So I guess I had a bit of an open picture to it. So when they came and started putting cameras in Lawrence, Kansas, where I ended up moving, I quickly noticed that all the cameras that went up were to the exits of town. And then they slowly moved inward and covered all the ground. But all the initial cameras, because Lawrence is so small, you can see a lot of this. They were all just the exits of town. And then we watched trainload after trainload of tanks roll through. And tell me if this doesn't creep you out, because, these were mile-long trains with tanks just nonstop, and you don't know where they're going. And, of course, we knew about this because the Army Corps of Engineers had to come check the bridge and make sure. And in Lawrence, they're all very awake and aware. A lot of aware homeless people out there, folks. And a lot of them are homeless because they are aware. And they were out there questioning these guys, you know, finding out why they were here and what was going on. So this type of activity is really great. And now that we have the ability to project that out to the world and you know, get it live on YouTube or whatever, it's an amazing time to be alive for this whole scenario.
Now, where do you see the trend going? Nowadays, the occultism, the symbology is so blatant in your face. It's almost like we kind of amuse ourselves asking ourselves, well, I wonder what occult spectacle they're going to show during that Super Bowl halftime this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it just touches off a frenzy of all this analysis on YouTube and whatnot. Because we talked prior to coming on about the new eon of Horus, Horus the crowned and avenging sun, how Aleister Crowley likened this age that we're in now, the age that was going to be in his future, I would perceive as today for us, the new eon of Horus, which would be inaugurated by wars, chaos, upheaval, so on and so forth, and it all fits into their cosmology. At the current time, we're seeing increased saber rattling against Russia. We're seeing more false flags and more fear-mongering about ISIS, the controlled intelligence assets, so on and so forth. Where do you see this trend going, Freeman, as far as intermediate and long-term?
What I had always sought to do was to bring out the occult. Now, I feel like I came up with the idea of high-profile rituals and understanding them. But that's not to say that there wasn't something like the epic 30-hour "You Sold Your Soul for Rock and Roll." You know, I don't know if you've ever watched, you know, maybe just the 8-hour version, but the 30-hour version will have you believing in Satan, without a doubt. By the end of that Christian evangelical documentary, you will believe in Satan. All right, but I wanted deeper. I wanted more. That wasn't good enough for me to have people just say, oh, it's Satan. I needed to understand more. There had to be more to this. And I'll give you a game to play. Watch the 30 hours of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and take a drink every time they mention the CIA or MKUltra or even Stanford Research Institute.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You're going to be a Mormon by the end of this program because you're not going to take a single drink. There's not one mention of any of these things, not one mention of Freemasonry, not one mention of secret societies. It's just Satan, Satan, Satan. This was not good enough for me. I wanted to understand this magic to its core, or at least as much as I could without actually becoming a practitioner of the magic. So when I was talking about Y2K and the Y2K meltdown, I was working at Kansas University at this time, and was speaking to the lawyers and engineers about this stuff. I was talking about HAARP and earthquake devices and things of this nature, and they would always go, oh, you can't believe what you read on the internet. And, you know, I'm talking to them about Y2K, and I'm bringing them in documents that I'm printing off, and they're going, well, I don't believe what I read on the internet. And I'm like, but this is .gov. This is your government. This is FEMA and the Department of Defense that are telling you to prepare for 3 days in case of this Y2K meltdown. Of course, I'm aware enough to know that the Y2K problem was known about in 1974. You know, it was something that they just waited. Now, you wonder what came out of the Y2K quote-unquote meltdown. It cost $10 a line to fix those computers. There were 500 billion lines of code on just the DoD defense's mainframes, right? So just do the money, right? It was an incredibly business acumen there, boy. I don't even know who was collecting that $10 a line, but man. But when I was talking to them, I'm like, but this doesn't worry me. It would make me the happiest man in the world if Y2K brought down the banking institutions and all of the crap that goes along with our modern technology. I wouldn't mind that one bit. I'm a rainbow hippie. I live out in the woods, you know. I have no problem with going primitive in the most high-class style, right? So Y2K was nothing for me, but yet the perception of these lawyers and engineers that were listening to me, it was that I was going to be in a bunker somewhere because I was worried about what the DOD and FEMA was telling me to worry about. But I would tell them, no, listen, I'm not worried about that. I'm concerned because they're capping the Great Pyramid with gold. And then they just look at me like I'm a Martian, right? Of course you do.
Yeah.
Okay, so back at this time, no one thought these type of things. No one was looking for these Illuminati symbols But I was, and I was very concerned because, you know, the Nova Ordo Seclorum, the New World Order on your dollar bill, has that eye, the cap, floating above the pyramid. And when it completes, that's when you complete this New World Order. So the capping of the Great Pyramid for Y2K was a major celebration of this. But the capping got canceled. There were actually, the headline, December 18th, 1999, USA Today, was Muslims stop the Freemasons from capping the Great Pyramid with gold. Now, you can't get a copy of this paper. If you do, please take a picture and send it to me. I've been looking for it for, you know, what, 16 years. You can't get it off their website. You can't get it, you know, out of the library. It doesn't exist. You can find the AP and Reuters stories on the capping of the Great Pyramid and the cancellation of that, but you can't get the actual headline of the USA Today because they don't database that that newspaper. So this is the type of scenario that I'm talking about. You're looking at one puzzle, but then there's this other puzzle going along with this whole scenario. So when we start to look to our future, what we need to recognize is that these occultists are in charge. They are guiding things, and they are nudging things, and they are using psychological warfare, which is a form of magic, mesmerism, things of this nature to guide us, neuro-linguistic programming. All of these are just scientific terms for magic. I mean, when you think about magic, all right, the very first forms of magic from ancient Egypt were talismans and contracts. So now look at what rules our world, the talismans of the dollar and the contracts of the corporations. Corporations are nothing but golems. They're immortal beings that have no being whatsoever. So start to take that puzzle into this whole scenario and go into the transhumanist immortal world that these guys are believing. They are looking to the ancient past as we see them stealing artifacts out of the Cairo Museum as we storm into Baghdad, or out of the Baghdad Museum. The Cairo Museum's building DNA labs. You start to see how they are forming the world into the future. And if you actually go back, there was an article, and I don't know if it still exists or not, of Hillary's maid that existed back when Bill Clinton was in office, telling how much of a witch she was, like literally doing witchcraft and having cock rings, if I can use the colloquial term, you know, penis rings and crack pipes, she said, on her Christmas tree. And how she put this big booty goddess out in front of the Oval Office. Now, that part you can confirm. And that they would have these crazy coke sex rituals in the White House. I mean, Reagan was bringing in astrologers. People thought that was crazy. But you get to the Clintons and it really goes batshit. I mean, it really gets crazy. So I see this whole scenario of a meltdown between this whole election of Hillary and Trump. I mean, this is a complete, total mess. And all of this to bring just the ultimate collapse of America, to bring in this UN control using the 10 regional governors. So like when I was predicting 9/11, I was looking at what they needed and what they were already doing. Just like I predicted when NASA ended, I saw that they were already training with SpaceX. So it was an obvious that NASA was going to go military with their Ares program, because Ares is the god of war, and you can just take the symbolism and the science and put it all together. So with this scenario, we see this whole meltdown of America. Oh, what I was going to say is Obama announced the 10 regional governors. You can go look this up in your news sources, Reuters and everything. The 10 UN regional governors. So, you know, as Alex Jones was fear-mongering everybody, well, we'll have 10 regions. Of course, that also goes way back. Christian evangelists, you know, have been talking about, Christian patriots have been talking about these UN regions for a long, long time. Well, now those men exist. And so, therefore, you can say, okay, they need a scenario to make this occur. Just like they did with 9/11, needing Homeland Security, they already had Tom Ridge. You know, why have a head of something that doesn't exist? So in the same way, I see this whole meltdown. I see us, America, going into the world court, our architects for 9/11 truth, bringing down the American government, and realize that George W. Bush and the Bush family and all of these cronies, they already have all of their ranches down in Paraguay down next to where Mengele was growing that town of twins, of blonde blue-haired
yes.
twins. That's where, you know, that's where they're going, which also is the place where they're making glow-in-the-dark sheep and cats and, you know, and goats and stuff down there in Paraguay and Uruguay. So that's where they're all going. They've already got, you can go check out the Bush Ranch and find out. It's there in Paraguay, where the Nazis all went, folks. So when this whole thing crumbles and we have the next Nuremberg trials, guess who gets to fly out and go live in Paraguay, all right? So it's the writing's on the wall.
And what you've done, Freeman, as far as highlighting to the listeners the occultic nature of all this, that these elite, these hybrid bloodline elite, they seem to be worshiping something other than themselves. I mean, they are supreme narcissists, supreme sociopaths and psychopaths, but they know that there seems to be a pecking order, that they have fealty and allegiance and in some measure draw power from these unseen forces, which the Gnostics and others have talked about throughout the ages. Because there's still this element within largely the patriot community, a lot of what I call surface level truthers, where they seem to draw a sense of satisfaction thinking that, well, we're just up against power-mad bankers. They're humans. They put their pants on one leg at a time, just like we do. They have these funky and weird and sometimes sordid belief systems, which include ritual murder, so on and so forth. But really, they're just like us. And so it's almost like they draw this false sense of comfort from that. And despite the fact that people like yourself and now increasingly others are putting that symbolism and putting the occult ceremony in their faces, there's still this reluctance, this default setting, which holds that we're still just up against power-mad, erratic, unbalanced people. So I really want to compliment you on the fact that you're bringing out the fact that there is this darker matrix largely hidden from the visible spectrum at play here.
Yeah, people don't believe in magic. I mean, they're definitely building it into the next generation with Harry Potter and all of the, oh my God, the Disney stuff.
Oh, yes.
Lordy. You know, getting to the Rick Royden stuff. Guys, check this stuff out because it's trauma to your children. I highly recommend you read, you know, the Red Pyramid before giving it to your child and things like that, because it really is trauma-based mind control. You know, we were asked, what would we see out of Katy Perry at the Super Bowl? And when I say we, I'm talking about my my ex-girl, Jamie, who was composing Weird Stuff, our magazine book that outlines all of these high-profile rituals. So if you want to get into it, Weird Stuff is a great book to really open the door. And it's a tool for you to share this information with your friends because they see Beyonce, they see Taylor Swift. You know, they're like, oh, what is this, Lady Gaga? You know, so it helps you to teach them a thing or two. But now, I was heavily clued into the Ordo Templi Orientis. To me, they are a much bigger player than anyone gives them credit for. And we know that they were highly written into all of our sex, drugs, and rock and roll. As Crowley, as you were saying, the idea of the age of Horus, the crowned and conquering child, the idea that we are but these babes in the woods that are just, you know, after our sensual needs, and we'll start wars over soccer games, you know, is basically what Crowley was saying. He also got heavily into what transhumanism would become. He was on top of this tip, for sure. You know, he was also a secret agent and, you know, in every secret society, Freemasonry, and all of this. Well, the Ordo Templi Orientis was an organization that he came into and basically rewrote the ideas inside of there, channeling the Book of the Law from Awas. In the Great Pyramid, well, really in his hotel room, but after visiting the Great Pyramid, and his wife, Rose Kelly, was there helping him channel into these things. And, you know, there was this whole correlation that she said she was in contact with Horus, and he said, prove it, show me something from Horus in the museum. And she went straight to the number 666, it was the number on the plate of the stela of revealing that she went
yes.
to, and it was all about Horus. And Crowley was like, okay, good enough for me. And he scribed out the Book of the Law. Now, that very handwritten book is carried at the Austin University of Texas. It's at the Harry Ransom Center. And that whole space right there is absolutely dedicated to Lucifer in her form as Venus. And we can get into that, but let me stick to the OTO and the ideas that they were promoting. They were the Beatles. They were Led Zeppelin. They were the Doors. They were, every rock group. David Bowie was OTO. Every time you start to see this British invasion, that you got the OTO behind it. And Aleister Crowley was also a Brit, folks, just so you know. And a great film on Crowley was just made by the lead singer of Iron Maiden, Bruce Dickinson. I highly recommend it. It is quite amazing. I'd put this one right up there with The Prestige from Disney. I would recommend that one as well, about Crowley with David Bowie as Crowley, because he's OTO. And, all of this technology that we see spawns up out of these magical orders. It was the Golden Dawn trying to transmit messages on the Maltese Cross to the other side, to the aether. And that created the cathode ray tube, what we now call television. And this was then picked up by a Nazi corporation, and they were, of course, heavily, heavily into all of this channeling technology from these inner Earth or Avatar beings that they were, the Ascended Masters. He was a big follower of Madame Blavatsky, and getting into so much in the magical realm, that people are completely oblivious to. And so the terms and all the meanings, everybody's just focused on, oh, there's a butterfly. And when we were asked, what would you see from Katy Perry at the Super Bowl? We said, well, most likely, since they're following this Revelations program, that you're looking at you will see the Whore of Babylon. And L. Ron Hubbard, the father of Scientology and Dianetics, who was also a master magician and battles and magical battles with Aleister Crowley, was with L. Ron Hubbard, who created Jet Propulsion Laboratories, is the reason we are launching these rockets into space with other Nazis like Werner von Braun, who, was also on Disney's TV show. These dark magicians, right? Satan-type magicians, dark magicians, were the ones that were doing these rocket launches. So our technologies come through these people. And L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons were discussing a vision of the Whore of Babylon, which is Thelema, which is the whole heart, the Scarlet Woman, the whole heart of the OTO, the whole thing. And she was a woman riding on a giant cat beast, holding the reins while carrying a fire chalice. That was how they had the vision of the Whore of Babylon. Live on the air, we're saying this. We're saying this is what we're going to see from Katy Perry. And I threw in, diamonds are the MK Ultra symbol for awakening sleeper mind control agents.
Who could have predicted what Katy Perry did at the Super Bowl? When you start to look at this magical order, you find that we're dealing with signs and symbols of mind control, but then also the ideas that are within the magical realms. So Jack Parsons, who is the head of Jet Propulsion Laboratories, realized that the occult is at the basis of all of our technologies. And Jack Parsons was a Satanist, openly. You can go look at Sex and Records and find out that he was a dark magician. He's the one working with the Nazis, working with Werner von Braun. These two together, Hubbard and Parsons, had a vision of the Whore of Babylon. Now, this is at the heart of the Ordo Templi Orientis. The whole idea of the Scarlet Woman, the Whore of Babylon, is you'll see it on the Rolling Stones album. Is that on Her Majesty's Satanic Service? I'm not
sure.
Yes,
Satanic Majesty's Request or something like that.
Right, exactly. I think it's that album that has the Scarlet Woman down at the bottom. It's the one where they're all dressed as wizards, and then the Scarlet Woman standing there at the base, or the fact that Crowley's on the Beatles and things of this nature. But so this Whore of Babylon vision that Hubbard and Parsons were discussing described the Whore of Babylon coming out on a cat-like beast, riding a cat-like beast, holding the rein, and carrying a fire chalice. So live on the air, Jamie and I predicted that this is what we would see from Katy Perry. And as an off note, utilizing the ideas of MKUltra and the signs and symbols of trauma-based mind control, I knew that there was the diamond. The diamond was a symbol of the presidential model mind control slave, which we really consider Katy Perry to be.
Yes.
And the diamond is also a symbol for you to trigger sleeper mind control slaves. Now, who could have said this? But lo and behold, Katy Perry comes out on a cat-like beast holding the reins in a fire chalice dress while the cat is covered in diamonds. We predicted it live on the air before it happened, and I was also very instrumental in explaining what you were seeing with Madonna on her Super Bowl ritual. Now, I just wanted to say that while I was describing all of this stuff to you, I was taking off the internet. I am no longer on the internet. I am now talking to you on my phone. Because something that I was saying just then, just all of what I just told you, I don't know. I'm not normally a paranoid person, but this is really bizarre. I've never had it.
Oh,
tell
yes.
Me, sorry, you're no longer on the internet.
Yes. We were knocked off. Yeah, the moment you were getting into all this stuff, things started to get a little wonky, and then I lost you completely. So I think it's par for the course. Whenever we try to do good in this world, we go against the grain of the world. It's the nature of this matrix simulation. So really, think of it, I like to say, as a backhanded compliment.
Yeah. I'm not normally the one that jumps to, oh, my God, the Illuminati's after me. I'm not that guy. But this is really weird, and I'm still offline. I can't get on the internet, and that's really, really bizarre. It's never happened before. Yeah, so I'm telling you the stuff. I mean, I really am. I've never held back. When I did the Anna Nicole Brittany and mind control, trauma-based mind control expose, that scared the living daylights out of me, folks. I mean, I had a meltdown. I honestly did. And I ended up filming what I call the Sorcerers of Atlantis. And that's my term for what people call the Illuminati. Because I like to be a lot more factual in what I state. And Sorcerers of Atlantis is who we're really looking at in this
whole
puzzle.
Yes, that's a very good term.
Now, we just watched the launch of the OSIRIS-REx as it went to Bennu, right? Yeah, where do you think NASA gets these days, right? You got to be a Mason to go into space. There's no way. There's never been. The only two times that I ever documented non-Masons, you know, people who had never been through the rituals, were the Challenger and the Columbus, okay? They had two non-initiates, each one of those. And now look at the titles of the space shuttles, the Columbia Endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis. And then the Challenger is destroyed. Look at what asteroid they told us was going to come destroy all life in 2029 or 2036. Apophis, the serpent deity of destruction of the Egyptian religion. Now we have OSIRIS-REx, which means King Osiris, launching to Bennu. And Bennu is an asteroid, but Bennu is the Egyptian word for phoenix. It's the death and resurrection. We're at this point right now where China's about to build the largest Hadron Collider in the world, twice the size of CERN and seven times its power. CERN's developing tabletop particle colliders. We have the Brookhaven National Laboratories. We're going to get into all of this in the second hour, but I wanted to give everybody a little bit of a prelim of, just the way this occult ties into the technology. So I guess right now we're laying out the occult, right?
Yes, because that's the fundamental underpinning, the template of all this, because clearly they're streaming in these ideas, these inspirations, this consciousness from another place. They're from an energetic, spiritual, indeed genetic standpoint. They're predisposed, many of these sorcerers from Atlantis, to come up with these ideas and have the incarnational know-how to implement some of these ideas. So really what we're seeing is a continuation of something that's been going on, manifesting through all these people, like you mentioned, Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah, here's the point, is that I'm not the one to come out here and say, oh my God, magic and the occult and the esoteric are evil. Stay away. Don't read it. Don't look at it. That's not me. I'm saying go study it, read it, check out the Golden Dawn, you know, the Rosicrucians. Get deep into what the Kabbalah is and what they're talking about. Because what you'll find out is that the magicians we are talking about, and the reason I call them sorcerers, which is the dark side, is that they are projecting the dark side of magic. When Madonna came out on the Super Bowl stage, she projected the mark of the beast, according to the dark practices of Satanists like Crowley and Kenneth Grant inside of the Ordo Templi Orientis. Now, you know, these guys are strict Satanists. I mean, you know, that's such another term that requires much more definition, but we're talking about dark magic and sorcery. So when we see the projections of what they're doing in the occult, so let's just say at the Y2K celebration, when England did this, they burnt the River Thames speed of the sun. This was the River Styx going to hell. Signs and symbols that we saw. Or when President Clinton announced it is a rising sun for the Y2K ritual in America, and they made the sun rise in the west. They made a light so bright that it appeared the sun was rising from the west. And this is the sign of Horus. And we're back to this avenging god, this, you know, age of the narcissistic child. And, of course, Clinton was a perfect example of that. But the point being that the magic that we're seeing portrayed in these high-profile rituals are the dark side. And that's why, you know, the letter W is the sign of the fallen angels. You can look it up in the Hebrew correlation. You get VV, and this makes the number 66, and this is the number of the fallen angels. Just when you look at Hitler's Volkswagen, you'll see the same sign and symbol, which is two V's. It's just the V's are interlaced. Well, Hitler was well into Kabbalism, and he knew darn well that VVV was 666 in Kabbalism. When you look at the CIA programming of transhumanism with J.J. Abrams, who was openly working with the CIA. Now, again, the CIA is spawned of the tomb, where they would dress up in hooded robes and do mock sacrifices and masturbate in coffins. Okay, so these are the guys that created the CIA, right? And they also spawned John Kerry and George Bush and W. Bush. And, you know, so let's not forget that these guys are sitting in the tomb doing masturbatory rituals and sacrificing baby effigies in front of 40-foot stone owls. You know, you may see a mockery of it at CERN, but this stuff is really happening, and these are the people that when you say the CIA, boy, doesn't that sound official, you better think, oh my God, dark hooded robes and weird blood rituals. And so HW means the emperor of the fallen angels. W is a symbol of the fallen angels. And then Barack Obama, oh my God, Barak in Hebrew means lightning, and Obama in Hebrew means from the heights. All right, so lightning from the heights is the description of Satan in the Bible. It's actually in Aramaic, you know. And if you play Yes We Can in reverse, you can do it yourself. Just say it, Yes We Can, and record it on Audacity or something and play it backwards. You'll see it says, Thank You, Satan, very clearly. I've got at least three videos of it up if you want to just see it yourself. So when I see what I see, like Madonna putting Mark of the Beast now, most of the people in the world have never read Kenneth Grant's Typhonian trilogy. Now, Typhon is the Lord of the Abyss. It really goes to Apophis. It goes to Leviathan. It goes to the ideas of Revelation. And Typhon is this monster of a serpent being that is the heart of the Typhonian order of the OTO, which is the main practitioner of, you know, this is how weird this stuff all gets.
We've reached the end of the first hour, and we've got so much more for you to go over. We leave it at a good point because so many people in the so-called Patriot Movement, in the Awake Movement, in the Truth Movement, they see anything of an esoteric, occultic nature as being inherently evil, inherently satanic. This is why they throw out the baby with the bathwater. They refuse to even delve into the basics of the Gnostic scriptures. They refuse to delve into like what the Essenes were about. They refuse to delve into the ancient Hindu texts because to them it's all been tarred with the brush of, quote, evil and Satanism, mostly by the evil-controlled Catholic Church and other Orthodox Christian patriarchal regimes in the past and to this day. So people must understand that when we talk about the occult, we talk about esoteric symbolism and whatnot, it is not inherently evil. In fact, as he pointed out, the Bavarian Illuminati may have started out with very good goals, but everything has been inverted, turned upside down, to the point where the very term Illuminati is synonymous with evil, New World Order, globalism, et cetera, et cetera. So we've reached the end of the first hour. You've been listening to my very special guest, Freeman Fly. And hang on, folks. We've got so much more to share in the second hour. If you enjoy what we're doing here at the Cosmic Switchboard, if you believe in what we're doing, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, and become a member. And we'll be right back after the top of the next hour.